Prologue.
The attack on the Chiss Ascendancy homeworld of Chela was sudden, unexpected, and despite its limited scope, impressively efficient. The three large warships came out of hyperspace on widely spaced vectors, driving inward toward the planet with spectrum lasers blazing at full power toward the defense platforms and the orbiting Chiss Defense Force warships. The platforms and ships, caught by surprise, nevertheless took less than a minute to begin returning fire. By then, the attackers had altered their directions, angling in toward the cluster of lights spread across the icy planetary surface that marked the capital city of Chapla. Their lasers continued to fire, and as they came within range, they added salvos of missiles to their attack. But ultimately, it was all for nothing. The defense platforms easily picked off the incoming missiles, while the warships targeted the attacking ships themselves, blasting them into rubble, and making sure that any fragments entering the atmosphere were too small to survive the journey. Within 15 minutes of the attack force's arrival, it was over. The threat had ended, Supreme General Bakif thought grimly, as he strode down the central corridor toward the cupola, where the syndics and the other aristocra were assembling after making their way back from the shelters. Now came the real sound and fury. And there would be plenty of both. As the supreme ruling body of the Ascendancy, the Sindicure liked to project an image of thoughtfulness, nobility, and unflappable dignity. Most of the time, aside from the inevitable political wrangling, that was close enough to the truth. But not today. The Sindicure had been in full session, and the speakers had had their own private meeting scheduled for later in the afternoon, which meant nearly all of the Ascendancy's top-level aristocra had been in the offices, corridors, and meeting rooms when the alarm sounded. The shelters beneath the cupola were reasonably roomy and marginally comfortable, but it had been decades since the last direct attack on Chela, and Bakif doubted any of the current government officials had ever been down there. 2 hours of forced idleness while the defense force waited to see if there would be a follow-up attack hadn't gone over well with them, and Bakif had no illusions that the coming storm would be thoughtful, noble, or unflappable. He was right.
"What I want to know,"
the speaker for the Ufsva family spoke up after Bakif had finished his report,
"is who the aliens are who dared think they could get away with an attack against us. A name, General. We want a name."
"I'm afraid I can't give you one, Speaker," Bakif said.
"Why not?" the speaker demanded. "You have debris, don't you? You have data records and bodies and weapons profiles. Surely a name can be gleaned from all that." "The Ascendancy has been attacked,"
the speaker for the Myth family cut in gravely, as if the others might somehow have missed that fact.
"We need to know who to punish for such arrogance."
"Yes,"
the Usfa said, throwing a brief glare down the table. Bakif suppressed a sigh. In times gone by, major threats to the Ascendancy had usually drawn the ruling families into a unity that superseded the usual political maneuvering. He'd held a small hope that today's attack might spark such a response. Clearly that wasn't going to happen. In the case of the Usfa and Myth, in particular, those families were in the midst of a particularly tangled campaign, with a newly opened mining field on Thiartera as the prize. And the Usfa was clearly annoyed at having had some of his spotlight stolen by his family's current chief rival.
"More than that,"
he added, his glare daring the Myth to interrupt again.
"We need assurance that the Defense Force has the resources to defend the Chiss against further action by these unidentified enemies."
The Questis datalink reader lying on the table in front of Bakif lit up as a fresh report came in. He picked it up, propping it at an angle on his left palm while he slid his finger along the edge to scroll the screen.
"The Sindicure need not be concerned about their safety," he said. "I've just received word that 4 additional warships from the expansionary fleet have been rushed in from Naporar and are moving to support the Defense Force ships already in place."
He winced to himself. Young men and women, ready to give their lives to protect their homeworld. Noble and honorable. And a sacrifice, if it was ever required, that he and everyone else currently in the cupola knew would be a complete and utter waste. Fortunately, it didn't look like any such sacrifice would be needed today.
"And if they attack other worlds within the Ascendancy?"
the Usfa pressed.
"Other ships have already been sent to bolster the patrol forces of the neighboring systems in case they're the targets of subsequent attacks," Waqif said. "Has anyone else reported attacks or enemy sightings?"
the speaker for the Klar asked.
"Not as yet, Speaker," Waqif told him. "As far as we can tell, this was an isolated incident."
The speaker for the Abik family gave a theatrical little snort.
"I seriously doubt that, General," she said. "No one sends warships against the Ascendancy on a lark and then goes home. Someone out there is plotting against us. That someone needs to be found and taught a serious lesson."
It went on that way for another hour, with each of the 9 ruling families and many of the great families who had aspirations of joining that elite group making sure to get their outrage and determination on record. It was, for the most part, a waste of Bakif's time. Fortunately, extensive experience in the military had taught him how to listen to politicians with half his mind while focusing the other half on more urgent matters. The speakers and syndics wanted to know who had attacked the Ascendancy. They were looking in the wrong direction. The more interesting question was not who, but why. Because the Abik had been right. No one attacked Chila for the fun of it. That went double for an attack that cost 3 major warships without providing any obvious gain. Either the attacker had misjudged badly, or else he'd achieved a more subtle goal. What could such a goal look like? The majority of the Sindicure clearly assumed that the attack had been a prelude to a more sustained campaign, and once they finished their posturing, they would undoubtedly start urging the Defense Force to pull its ships inward for the protection of the major systems. More than that, they would probably insist the expansionary defense fleet likewise withdraw from the borders to augment them. Was that the goal? To keep the Chiss looking inward and not outward? In which case, bowing to the Sindicure's demand for security would play directly into the enemy's plans. On the other hand, if the syndics were right about this being the start of a full-fledged campaign, leaving the expansionary fleet out in the chaos would be an equally fatal move. Either way, if they guessed wrong, it would be too late to correct the error by the time they knew the truth. But as Waqif weighed the possibilities, it occurred to him that there was one other possibility. Perhaps the attack wasn't meant to draw the Ascendancy's attention from something that was about to happen, but to distract it from something that had already happened. And that possibility, at least, he could look into right now. Surreptitiously, he keyed a search order into his Questus. Midway through the cupola session, as he continued to make his soothing noises to the Aristocra, he had the answer. Maybe. One of Bakif's aides was waiting when the general finally made it back to his office.
"Were you able to locate him?"
Waqif asked.
"Yes, sir," the aide said. "He's on Naporar, undergoing his final round of physical therapy for the injuries sustained during the Vagari pirate operations."
Waqif scowled.
operations that, while successful in a military sense, had been a complete disaster on the political front. Months later, many of the aristocracy were still brooding over that whole mess.
When will he be free?
Whenever you wish, sir, the aide said. He said he would be at your disposal whenever you wanted him.
Good,
Bakif said, checking the time. Half an hour to bring the Whirlwind to flight status, 4 hours to get the Naperar, another half hour to get a shuttle down to the Chiss Expansionary Fleet Med Center.
Inform him that I want him ready in 5 hours.
Yes, sir.
The aide hesitated.
Do you want the order logged, or does this qualify as a private trip?
Log it,
Bakif said. The aristocracy might be unhappy when they found out about this. The Sindicure might even assemble a tribunal somewhere down the line to waste more of his time with useless questions. But Bakif was going to do things strictly by the book.
Order from Supreme General Bakif,
he continued, hearing his voice drop into the tone he always used for formal orders and reports.
Preparing transport for myself and Senior Captain Mithron Yorodo. Destination, Dioya. Purpose, investigation of a derelict ship found 2 days ago in the outer system.
Yes, sir,
the aide said briskly. His voice was studiously neutral, giving away nothing of his own personal feelings on the matter. Not all those who thought poorly of Captain Thrawn, after all, were members of the aristocracy. At the moment, Bakif didn't care about any of them. He'd found the first half of the why. Now there was only one person he trusted to come up with the other half.